Yakai, good morning. This is Murich Meg, RTR FM, 92.1 Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM. Welcome to Murich Meg. Big week. Big week for a few of us that are in the studio today. My guests are going to be talking about our little jaunt to Canberra, our little jaunt to the ACT to talk about GWS. No, not the footy show. Not the footy show. Great, not even Great Southern Land. Not the footy show. Genocide in the Wildflower State. Welcome to Munish Mag. And my guests, I'll be talking to Marie Pryor. Gee, we go back 50 years, which kind of suggests the age of us. And her daughter, who wasn't around 50 years ago, obviously, Lorraine. Okay, well, maybe it's a bit longer than 50 years that I met Marie, and it's a privilege to have her on the show today. How you going, Tonj?
Yeah, good, Jimbo. Great to be back.
And it's been a great last couple of days in Canberra, and it's just great to have the support and our people with us advocating and sharing their stories and, you know, continuing the truth-telling that we need to do.
Good, yes. Murich Mag, if you just tuned in, 92.1 Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM. Yeah, full show today, a couple of guests, and we'll be talking to them about not only our trip to Canberra, but also a couple of ladies associated with Voice of Hope. And they'll be talking about their ACCO, the Aboriginal Community Controlled Organisation that they're involved in, and the work they're doing. Much admiration for these two, so I'm looking forward to the interview and what they've got to say. Let's go to a song. It's Mitch Tambo, who we're going to have a few songs from today. Yeah. Welcome back. Mitch Tambo, yes. Yes, we're going to feature some of his music today. I had the pleasure of being in Canberra, as you've heard, this weekend. Yes, saw on the news that he's released a set with 60 different tunes. And how did he describe it? He described it as sort of healing. He described it as hip-hop. He even had a bit of country in there. And it's called Tambu Jams, J-A-M-S. I'd encourage you to go out and grab a copy, or maybe Spotify, or wherever you get your good music from. We checked it out yesterday and it wasn't available on CD, but we'll be playing a few of those tunes. I'm sure you'd appreciate it, given it's approaching NAIDOC Week, National Aboriginal and Islander Day of Observance Committee, commonly called National Aboriginal Day. Oh, I had to race up the stairs, so I'm puffing and blowing here. Not too bad for an old bloke, but, you know, at least I'm not in a wheelchair. But that, no, don't even say it. Don't even say it. Yeah, so Lorraine and Marie Pryor, who travelled with us to Canberra this week and was in the big house with us. No, not the casino, the big house. The big house, Australian Parliament House, where we featured our screening this week of GWS, or better known to you, our listeners, as Genocide in the Wildflower State. So, hello, Marie, and hello, Lorraine.
Hello, James. How are you?
Yeah, look, don't be shy. You've been in front of the TV cameras. You've been in front of the cameras. You've told your story, Marie. It's such a pleasure to have you on Murich Mag, and your lovely daughter, Lorraine. How are you, Lorraine?
I'm good, Uncle James. How are you?
Oh, look, I'm just feeling so overwhelmed, and I guess, look, I'm just so over the moon to have you two in the studio with me on Murich Mag, 92.1 Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM Albany on Minang Country. So, who's your mob and where you're from? You start, Marie.
My name's, I'm an elder now, Auntie Marie Pryor, and Wajak. I was born here, but my Mum's family are Ballardong, and my dad's family are the Nalakala Budja. And,
welcome, Lorraine.
That's where my family will come from.
Good. And we know now that you've got biggest mobber relations, and you met them in Canberra even. So, Lorraine, obviously you follow your mum's line. And who's your mob and where are you from?
So, my name's Lorraine Pryor, and I am a proud Wajak Noongar York from Perth, born here in Perth. And I also have ancestry ties to Balladong on my grandmother's side and Nala Kala Budja on my grandfather's side. And I am so grateful to be here today, Al.
So, both ears, and tell me who you're linked to family-wise. I mean, Pryor. Who else is associated with the Pryors?
So, Pryors come from Wagen, Narrogin Way. So, you know, Hume's mob, Bennells. Yeah, big line of family there. And also on my grandmother's side, you know, Garlic Kickett. So, you know, the extended families are all over.
And Marie,
yeah,
your extended families.
Well, I come from the Pryor side. My great grandmother, she had a big family. And like they had Rileys, the Parfitts, even the Malarkeys. There's a lot of family members that are all because my dad and all his brothers and sisters all taken away to Sister Kate, so a lot of family were all
removed.
You know, all just moved around, and like now we're only just finding a lot of our family today. You know, like. Because a lot of them, when they were taken to Sister Kate's, they didn't know where they who they were and where they belonged. And so, yeah, so it's good that we're catching up with family now. Yeah, so that's, like I think there was about four or five brothers and about seven sisters in that family.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a big family coming from my great-grandmother Ada Bennell and my great-grandfather Jack Humes. They called him Nipper.
Right.
Nipper Humes.
Right. Right.
And he was an old elder that he walked all that country down that way, Wandering, Narrogin, and Humphrey, I think it was Humphrey Bridge.
Okay.
Where all they used to camp and settle way back in the old reserve days.
Oh, Humphrey's Bridge.
Humphrey's Bridge, yeah.
Now near Wandering Mission.
That was near Wandering Mission, yeah. Yes. That's where my great-grandfather, and they all lived there.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes we think about the missions and then we know that there's places close like Marybank. Mujibing's down the road. Mujibing. And a lot of our people settle there.
Yeah.
And you get a place like, well, obviously more river native settlement. Other side the river our people camped.
Yeah.
So it was either traditional country or they were wanting to be close to their children.
Yeah.
You can never work that one out, you know, whether it was the mob were there, you know, for generations, or whether, like in the case of Moore River, the people had to go there because their children were there, you know, and it was way out of everyone's mind, way out of everyone's, you know, and the further away from communities, because in those days, you know, it was clean out the wheat belt, clean out the town, so white fellas could be happy without the black people, you know. So, look, so welcome to Moorish Mag. We're going to be talking about your program, your organisation, what you've been doing, because I know how busy you two are. I mean, if you're not doing stuff for GWS, you're doing stuff with us. And, you know, we have been talking previously about Banksia Hill and our experience there. So, Lorraine, tell us about the organisation you started and why.
So in 2022, I created an organisation called Voice of Hope. And Voice of Hope is an Aboriginal corporation. It's a non-for-profit organisation. It's an organisation that is led by Aboriginal women for Aboriginal women, especially for the women that are incarcerated.
Right.
So through my lived experience, I was in and out of prison, you know, from 2003 to 2010. And my longest sentence I got was 18 months to do parole with 9, but got knocked back. And I ended up doing 16 months straight, which was a big turning point in my life. And the thing was, we didn't have a lot of the cultural programs that we need in the prison system for our women.
Wow. So a couple of years you've been going, and I guess you've been pretty busy too, because I hear all this work you're doing, and obviously you tell me a bit of what's going on. Look, I'm going to go to a song, because we're going to talk some more with Lorraine Pryor and Mother Marie, and talk some more about Mitch Tambo. So We're talking healing, though, with Lorraine and Marie Pryor and their Voice of Hope, the community organisation they've established, and we'll go to healing shortly. But so, Voice of Hope, you've been set up since 22, and what sort of activities are you involved in our community? Because I know you're really busy, and, you know, from what I can see, it's all around healing.
So a lot of it, you know, with our women and, you know, our men and our children, you know, we have the highest incarcerated number of people in the prison system all around Australia. And, you know, we go into prison and we're very broken.
Mm.
We have a lot of unaddressed issues. And it's the white society that don't recognise these issues that we, you know, that we're facing. And so they don't know really what's happening with us. So by having an organisation for our women so that we can empower them, uplift them to live, you know, happy and normal lives on the outside, we've created this program, which is a 10-week program that we're doing out in the city.
Right.
And so we've been doing some workshops for our women once they're released. And we're trying to take the program into the prison.
Good.
So that they can have the cultural tools to come out with, which address a few of the issues that, you know, they could be facing, whether it be domestic violence, parenting, you know, cultural identity. You know, also talking about the stolen generation, mm-hmm. because a lot of them have no awareness of the traumas that they're carrying in there. So by us going in there and supporting these women in this space, you know, hopefully we can give them cultural tools that they need before they're released and help with that continuous care on the outside, because it's about having that wraparound service on the outside for these women.
Mm.
You know, like our men need it, our children need it, you know, because it's a long journey in recovery. You know, I've had to face it myself. I was 10 years on meth.
Right.
And I also was a domestic violence victim. You know, right. I'm a survivor of that now, and, you know, I advocate a lot for it in the community. They say mental health, but it's our spirits are broken, you know. Our spirits are broken from colonisation. So, you know, we've got all these components that we need to address. So we need it from a cultural lens.
Yes.
So
yes.
The program that I've created is coming from a lot of Aboriginal women. They're the ones that are delivering the services to our women because we know what our women need. And also for our little ninny ones that are in Banksia, you know, and it was so good to go in there with you.
Yes, yes. Over to Mum now. So you've got a role to play with your daughter, and you're, I guess, on the board. Are you a director of Voice of Hope?
Yes, I'm a director, yeah.
And your involvement in supporting your daughter then, you must be so proud of your girl.
Yeah, I am, yeah.
Good.
And I'm just so proud of all the contacts that we've got in the prison now, because I tell you, it was hard at first to get, you know, to get into the prison, because I used to do that role with the AVS 30 years ago.
Aboriginal Visitor Scheme. 30 years ago.
And you know what? We only had one prison that was banned up. Now we've got four women's prison, you know.
A bit of growth.
We've got four women's prison, and they're all full of our mob.
Mm.
And some of those ladies that are in now, I've seen them when they were babies, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
And they sing out to me, Auntie, you know, and they still recognise me, you know. And
too good. Well, it's not too good, but yeah.
It's not too good, because, you know, I think, you know, what they're doing in here, you know, and with yarn and that and all that there. And yeah, so, and the graduations, we go into the prisons when the girls have graduations every month, and to see them come through on the other side and they tell their stories of how they got there, and they have us all in tears, you know, it's very emotional.
Mm.
But to see them with their graduation suits on, it's just so lovely. And they do their Aboriginal dancing, they're all painted up, and, you know, it's just beautiful just to watch.
Wow.
So, you know, it's just, yeah.
Look, we're talking to Marie Pryor and Lorraine Pryor from the Voice of Hope organisation. Tonji, they need some, well, I mean, it's just unbelievable for Lorraine to come on radio now and sort of to spill the beans, so to speak, on the background she's had. It's so encouraging that Lorraine's able to do that, and Lorraine has the strength to do that.
Yeah, you know, it is, Jim. It's, you know, great to see that she's identified that, you know, in her journey, and she saw the other opportunity in her journey to be empowered to do something positive for not just for herself but for the other women that's experiencing the same issues in her life and the women that she's met along her journey. And I think that's, you know, the reality of intergenerational trauma. And once we realise where we're at and we identify that we can, you know, try to address some of those key issues that are affecting us in our health and wellbeing, because it becomes a ripple effect in our life. And it's really great that, you know, key stakeholders like the justice system is really working closely with this project and program and allowing Lorraine and Murray to engage not only with the staff but also the prisoners as well. So I think it's a win on all levels, and it's, you know, again, it's really acknowledging the system and the system acknowledging of doing things from a cultural lens as well.
If you just tuned in, this is Mudich Mag, 92.1 Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM. We've been talking Tambo Jams, or Tambo, Mitch Tambo, who featured recently in the NAIDOC Awards night and is doing great around the country, and this week launched his new CD called Tambo Jams. We're going to play a couple of tracks now. One is Healing, which is all about the topic that Lorraine and Marie are talking about, and we talk about it constantly, don't we, Tony?
We sure do, Jim.
Let's go to a song, Mitch Tambo. Oh, welcome back, Mudich Mag, RTRFM, Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM on Minang Country down Albany Way. We're on Whadjuk Country now, so welcome to this space, a weekly space on good news stories. And we're talking healing today, talking Voice of Hope, Lorraine and Mother Marie Pryor. We were thinking about how long we've known each other. It must be more than 55 years, and can't be, Marie. And you're still looking as young and beautiful as ever, Marie. So, Lorraine, Voice of Hope, obviously a challenge for you. Thank you so much for sharing what you've said today. So you had an addictions issue. You've been inside. You've been locked up. Therefore, you have a rapport with First Nation people that have, and our women who've, very increasingly now, the numbers are getting bigger and bigger, and probably the biggest they've ever been. It's a bit like removal of children, really. But obviously impacts on them too. So your rapport, both you and Marie, the work you do, how are you feeling that they're accepting you? Are they? I mean, obviously there's love for you, your auntie or nan, or to these women. So why is it important that they're making connection with you, do you think?
It's very important that these girls make that connection with us, because, you know, Mum, she's been institutionalised as a child.
Mm.
I've been institutionalised. You know, we've faced a lot of challenges in our life that a lot of these women are facing these days, you know, and in the past. And, you know, by connecting, you know, with Aboriginal women that have the lived experience and know what to implement, to put in place to help our women, you know, be empowered, live healthier lifestyles, because, you know, that ripple effect does go down to the children, you know, and we are on matriarch country. So, you know, us women need to stand strong for our women and for our men and for our children.
Mm.
So, you know, since we started, you know, we started with a little group, and, you know, we're growing now. Like, we don't just work from, you know, like it's not a 9-to-5 job. You know, I get phone calls after hours, you know, with women that are going through issues, and, you know, and I'm yarning with them, or I'll be dropping off, you know, Healing Hope bags to the prisons on the weekends, or, you know, after hours, making sure that these women have got the basic essentials that they need to come out with so that they don't go and reoffend again.
Mm.
You know, like clothing, toiletries, vouchers. You know, whatever I can hustle up for these women to come out with,
yeah,
to give them that little fresh start, you know.
Mm.
So we've done about nearly 200 bags since we've started. And, you know, the prison contacts us and let us know when the sister girls are coming out, you know, what size they are. Because, you know, I walked into prison 45 kilos. I come out 65 kilos, you know. But I soon had to walk that off.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know...
So a couple of amazing role models that you are, Lorraine and Marie Pryor, who are guests today here on Mudich Mag. So that must put a bit of pressure on you, your role models. There's expectations on you now, and younger people are looking up to you because of your lived experience. And that's the highlight. That's your strength in having the lived experience. And sometimes you can tell these girls off, hey, these yogas need to be told off. They need to be this. But so are you finding that you need to have that sort of strength to be able to say straight out?
Yeah, definitely, you know, because, you know, at the end of the day, the ladies have to meet us halfway when they want to change. Mm. You know, we can't take them on this journey and take them on that walk. They have to meet us halfway, and they want to be able to make that decision. Yes, I've had enough now. You know, I want to make a change in my life. When they're ready to do that, you know, we've got all these support networks in place for them to help them, you know, in any sort of situation, because we want to help them in a holistic manner, because, you know, we know we got employment as is a challenge. Option, because yeah, we come out, we've got criminal records, no one's going to look at us. Well, it's time for that to change, you know, because we need to break that cycle of poverty. So a lot of us women, if we haven't got children and if we have got a house and if we're ready for employment, give us that chance, you know. Housing is another crisis for our women when they come out. You know, a lot of our women, even if it's just to house the women when they get out so that we can help them address some of the issues before they get their family back, that would be great. You know, connecting to culture, that is a major priority in our struggles. You know, like a lot of us were disconnected from our culture because of what's happened in the past. And that's the strength that I've had, is connecting back to my elders, connecting back to my culture, understanding their history. You know, Yokai has been a big part of my journey, and I'm very grateful that, you know, I've been able to engage with my elders, go on camps with my elders, you know, sit around and listen to them and absorb all their knowledge, you know, because it's given me the strength to stay on that recovery road.
Stay locked into 92.1, the Sound Alternative, Murich Mag or an RTR FM, Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM, Minang Country Album. Let's go to a couple of tunes here for Mitch Tambo, Tambo Jams, and we'll come back and talk to these lovely ladies that are talking so much about hope, Voice of Hope, and their organisation. Let's go to a couple of tunes. Mitch Tambo off his set, Tambo Jams. What was that, Don?
That was Dreams and Dust Storm there, Jimbo.
Two pieces. Yeah. There's 60 pieces on, 60 pieces of music, didge playing, modern music from country music, hip-hop, bit of healing stuff. So Dreams and Dust Storms. Look, I guarantee you'll like this if you've just tuned in. Some deadly music there from a man who was over recently for the NAIDOC Awards and now just released this album called Tambo Jams, J-A-M-Z. You know, if you've just heard it, just tuned in, I suggest you have a listen to this because I don't think I've heard this stuff for a long time. The last time I heard this stuff was Dave Hudson when he was involved in Jubba Guy. Dave Hudson apparently was taught by Richard Wally to play the didgeridoo and went on to create Jubba Guy over in Cairns. I think they had to, I think they were sold out, bought out by the Japs. So, Lorraine and Marie, thank you so much for being on the show. A Voice of Hope, going ahead in heaps and bounds. What's the challenges now for the future for you two?
Well, you know, just like a lot of our organisations, main challenge at the moment is funding. We're self-funding what we do. We get a couple of little donations that keep our workshops going because we're catering to like 20 to 30 women now, and we have our elders with us every time we have our workshops. And, you know, they comfort our girls when they come into this space. We've got a culturally safe space for our women every Monday. And, you know, just providing other services in the community, you know, and if other services want to come along and deliver workshops for us at our workshops, it will be great.
Good. Well, I'm hoping that this all works out for you. So from here on, things will change dramatically, I would have thought, because there's a lot of people out there listening and thinking, how can we help these yogas here? They're just too Murich. No, sorry, that's the program. Moorich Mag. So thanks for coming along. Can I say goodbye to you, Marie? What's the challenges for you?
Well, the challenges for me, like, you know, lived experience, been there and done that, and now it's, you know, like, we want to help our younger ones now, because that's our next generation, you know, and we want to make some changes, because we can see a better future, and we know a lot of young ones are stepping up now, but, you know, there's a lot that are getting left behind.
Good on you.
And we want to pick them ones up, you know.
Wow, a couple of wonderful yogas in this program here in Moorich Mag and Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM. We're going to go out with a song now, not for the program. We're going to say goodbye to these lovely ladies here that have been giving their time, role models for our women here in the community. Let's go to Emma Donovan. This song, Black Nation. Now, I told you last week, Emma Donovan was couldn't get a cab at the airport. How sad it is. I always get a cab because they look at me and think, he's too big to deal with. So I get a cab easy. But she couldn't get a cab a couple of weeks ago, a month ago now. She came here to do some performances, a beautiful lady who couldn't get a cab. Here's her song, Black Nation. Nation there. We're all about Black Nation here on Whadjuk Country, RTRFM, Moorich Mag and Noongar Radio and Minang Country down in Albany, Great Southern FM, Black Nation, Emma Donovan. And I love that girl's music, and it's a shame that she couldn't get a cab. And my next guest, our next guest to Moorich Mag, who this man is? Dylan Collard. Dylan, who are you, mob?
Kaya. Nganyang kwa Dylan Collard, Nganyang Whadjuk, we're Balladong Noongar. My family's the Collards, Bennells, Maguires, Shaws. Big families.
So
Brookton mob, Condinan mob, sort of free away.
Between the Collards and the Pryors, you're related to every Noongar. True.
That is true.
And you probably are you related to Marie as well?
Yeah, we all related.
Yeah.
That Bennell line's pretty strong and and then obviously, you know, with my in-laws, and all the Greys and the Naps and all them sort of Menang mob down there. So
mob.
I think that's everyone now. Pretty sure pretty well ticked them all off now.
We'll talk the rest of the program and who you're connected to. And you heard the interview with Voice of Hope ladies here, Lorraine and Marie, who I've known for a long, long time. Mm. There's got to be some hope, eh? There's got to be some hope for our future.
I've seen the great work they've been doing for a while now, you know, and it's awesome to see. And, you know, that's it. We've got to sometimes provide hope because, you know, our mob have been through all sorts of things that, but somehow we have always gotten through it.
Mm.
And it was funny, this week I had a video conversation with a student at an international school in the Netherlands, and he's a young Canadian fella at school in the Netherlands, being taught by one fellow that I went to university with. And this kid is writing an essay on, I guess, the assimilation policies in Australia, but how our people have continued to show resilience in spite of all that, which I think this kid, the questions he was asking was amazing, you know, for this young fella. So pretty awesome stuff.
Right. Talk about awesome. You're a pretty awesome man yourself as a marmon around that speaks language, a role model, just like Lorraine and Marie that we had on the show earlier. And you've been doing a lot of language classes. I don't know how you find the time to do that. Now, you're also an academic in qualifications. You've been a school teacher.
Yeah.
And?
I have a law degree and a Bachelor of Arts and, Masters of Teaching. But I think teaching Noongar language is definitely my passion.
Right.
Spreading that to as many people as I can. You know, it's the language of the land that we live on. And so the more people we can get, you know, speaking our language, the better. So
where did that come from? I mean, from a point of view of your own mob, language is really strong. So how there is that uniqueness there amongst the, you know, what you've, your, you know, how you've come about and how it's been passed on to you. So, you know, I've had the privilege of talking to your uncle, Len, and other Collards, Wardung. So what's unique about, I'm not calling it uniqueness either, that's probably the wrong word. So how have you been empowered to have so much language skills?
Yeah, it's something I haven't given a lot of thought. It's just sort of happened, you know. Mm. It's funny because, as I said, I studied law first. Then I went into teaching, and I was teaching at Balga Senior High School. And one of my aunties there, Auntie Danelle Slater, was teaching language there. And she sort of encouraged me to go into that as well. And I, you know, obviously growing up, pretty privileged to have the language around and, you know, uncles and aunties and dad and that. And I guess once I started teaching that, it was all I wanted to teach. I didn't want to teach, you know, English and HASS anymore. I wanted to just teach our language, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, did that and I loved it. And it was really good for, you know, improving my own language skills. And I see, I guess, the responsibility to pass it on, you know. As, mm-hmm. as I guess that's our job as Noongar people. We've been the custodians of the land and the culture. And so that's what I see myself as someone that can pass this language on and increase the number of Noongar people who can speak it. So.
Right. And you're conducting Noongar languages yourself?
Yeah.
So where are you doing that? Is that...
I guess the main place where I run the classes is in Vic Park.
Right.
So that's just because that's where I live and sort of made it my home over the last 12 years or so. So I run kids' classes there after schools and I run the adult classes on evenings, but I also do lots of school incursions. And more recently, with my older brother Rowan, been doing sort of on-country camps for kids and men and boys and things like that, sort of connecting. Because I think it's all interconnected, the language, the land, the families. So the more we can interweave all that and get people connected, I think the stronger we'll be. And that hope, you know, that we can provide to more people, which is exciting. And I know Rowan is very passionate about, again, connecting people like that. And, you know, we've run a few camps now, and I think he was saying that we're looking to run them at least for the next 12 months and beyond. So pretty exciting.
Mm. Well, you're talking to Murich Marmon here on Murich Mag. And this man's come through so much as far as education. He's... history of going back to being in the masters and a school teacher. So what's some of the highlights for you then when you're working with young people and language development? What makes you tick as far as how you feel about these kids coming through and even adults? I mean, I don't speak language, you know that. I mean, I know Murich Mag and I know Murich Mam and I know Murich Yoga.
and
some of the words I shouldn't know, but I do. So how does that work for you? How does it make you feel?
I think it's been great. I think one of the things I love is connecting people with the language, you know. And I know when I go into schools filled with, you know, Australia being a very multicultural country, I think it's the third most multicultural country in the world. And so you walk into some schools and you got all these kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, they don't say Willy Wagtail.
Yeah.
You know, that's the jitty jitty. And they all call it that, you know. And it's like, all right, well, everyone's already speaking a lot of Noongar words.
Yeah.
A lot of our suburbs, and I think Uncle Len talks about, in the southwest, 10,000 places have Noongar names.
Wow.
And, you know, it's about people already speaking the language. They just don't realise, you know. And I know, you know, you would have a lot more language than you sort of realise.
Yeah,
and, you know, it's in your DNA. It's in your blood. And, you know, so, and, you know, when you go into schools and all the kids are using that and they want to learn more.
That's inspirational.
So I think it's exciting times for it. And we're going to get to the point where Why can't we use the Noongar names for all the animals and the flora and fauna in Noongar country?
True,
you know, it's easy. And often it's easier to pronounce. It's often shorter. You know, when you think about the word karak. Karak's that beautiful, you got the feathers on your shirt, as opposed to the forest red-tailed black cockatoo. You know,
boring.
I say it all the time to kids. Oh, yeah, you ever see one fly through the sky? And by the time you tell your mate, oh, look, there's a forest red-tailed black cockatoo.
it's flown
past. Or you can say, oh, look at that beautiful karak.
Yeah. I'm privileged to have Dylan and Connor on the program today, and Murich Marmon, who's doing so much great work in language development around Whadjuk country. And look, I'm privileged also to be working in a studio, RTRFM, where the presenters are you know, doing acknowledgement of country. Every morning there's a welcome to country carried out by old boy, and these old boys, they're probably younger than me, Nick Abraham and Richard Wally. No, they're both Well, Richard's older than me, I think. They do a Welcome to Country every morning. So, a question from a listener. Should Wedgillers be encouraged to speak the language? What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, and a couple of parts to that answer. I think the first part is Wedgillers are already speaking Noongar. Mm. When they go to that suburb Bauga or that suburb Joondalup, or they're on that freeway to Mandra Gridup or Mandra, you know, they're already speaking it. So, two, I always say be cautious around who you're then using that language around. Because as you know, we've got a history where our people were told not to speak our language.
Yes.
And so I do, whenever I'm teaching non-Indigenous people, I teach it with protocols that be mindful of who you're using that language in front of and that history, which by virtue of where we live in Australia with a tumultuous history of race relations as to how you're using it. So that's, I guess, that thing there.
Yeah. I'm glad you raised that because as Tony and I were involved in dual naming in the Bayswater City Council, and the concern I had was, okay, we're talking dual naming and people and non-Aboriginal people are understanding what the names are, but our kids don't. So therein lies a problem where our Noongar kids, Whadjuk kids aren't aware of the language and might be a good thing. They're being taught by whitefellas. That's a sort of a bit of a slap in the face, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. It's about striking a balance between we need non-Indigenous allies to see our language as something important because otherwise it's never going to expand. But like you say, we've got to build our people up first and our kids up and build that strength. So it is a fine balancing act and it is something I give a lot of thought to, Unc, because I want to make sure I'm doing the right thing by our mob. But I also understand that this language can be something that everyone living in Noongar country can embrace in the future. It's a journey, you know.
Excellent. We've been talking to Dylan Collard, Tonju's, wanting to come and join us. He wants to be a Moodish Marmon on Moodish Mag. What do you reckon? Shall we let him?
Oh, we've got plenty of room for Dylan. He's deadly already. And I think, you know, the listeners are really embracing his message this morning, and I think that's a wonderful thing.
Good. Now, you know, a couple of games ago when I was at the Optus Stadium and Eagles were getting flogged yet again, but Ken Kelly kicked the first goal and the DJ played this song. He played this song. Ah, Moodish Mag and Noongar music there. Played after Tim Kelly kicked that goal. Apologies to Ken Kelly down on Minang country. He might be listening to that and saying, no, I don't play football. What's wrong with that man? He's telling everyone I'm kicking the goal and yawn. Been a long time since he kicked a goal, hasn't it? So, Dylan, thanks for coming on the show and expressing and, you know, giving us some information and empowerment, you know, too, about your language skills, your language empowerment, and hearing how you're doing that. So thanks for being on the show.
No worries.
You're now a friend of Moodish Mag, and you're going to be around for a while, so you're going to come in and be a guest.
Yeah.
Guest host.
I'd love to now. Once I get started, eh? So might have to be able to stop me then. But love yarning with yous and definitely will be making myself available to get in here more. So thank you.
Good on you. So it's Moodish Mag. We've had the privilege of having two Moodish Yorgas on the show, Lorraine Pryor and Marie Pryor, and this Moodish Marmon who's just been on the show, Dylan Collard, who's seems like he's been around a long time, eh? It seems like he's been around forever.
Well, it does, and what's funny about it, he's only a young fella, eh?
So we're about to say goodbye now. What song are we going to play?
I think we're going to play some Marikij Yornan, another Moodish fella doing some great stuff in the Noongar language space, Clint Bracknell. So love one of my favourite songs. We'll get that on there.
Good on you.